bless you all. God is good to us this morning. Yes, indeed. Jocelyn, would you do me a favor and get me a bulletin? Would you get me a bulletin? Does anybody here know what a palindrome is? Anybody know what a palindrome is? Somebody. A palindrome. Well, no, that's something else. I don't know what that is, but that's not a palindrome. What's that? Backwards and forwards. Did you know that today's date is a palindrome? Today is 0202020. 0202020, okay? So if you take a palindrome and you cut it down the middle, you can see it's the same on both sides. In a sense, today is like a bounce day. You can see it shaped like this, and then it's shaped just like that. The reality is God is accomplishing something even in this time frame. If you see prophetically, you will understand that there's something that happened in this time frame. There's a shift that is occurring and has occurred right around this time. I just want to encourage you, God is doing great things. In your bulletin, I don't know if Dad was planning on doing something else with this or not. I can't see him. I think I lost him. There he is. Are you planning on reading this or doing anything with this? There's a word, breakthrough word for February 2020 from Russ Walden. I'm not super familiar with this prophetic voice, but this message from the Father's Heart Ministry really resonated to Dad and to me and to a number of us. And I'll just hit highlights of it. The Father says today, right at the beginning there, there is a sea change coming upon the earth. I want to declare, I am with you, Father. I am in that. I am about that with you, Father. We agree to your word that there is an overall shift. There's a sea change coming upon the earth. The eyes of all humanity will turn and be riveted upon, not upon what man is doing, but upon my hand at work in the affairs of nations. I'll let you read much of that, but I'm sending a sweeping repentance movement over the U.S. and Western Europe. Some of you know that I just have had such a heart to see another reformation, a new reformation of the Christian church, the Christian faith itself. We need the truth, and we've been taught a bunch of stuff and a lot of there's a reformation occurring. I'm going to send a sweeping repentance over the U.S. and Western Europe. I'm excited to agree with that as well. The streets of New York City will resound with anthems. Capitol Mall in D.C. I will rain down righteousness, says Father. I say to my people, right down at the bottom, you guys, I say to my people, stand upon your watch. For this is the year of as in heaven, so on earth. Can we agree with that? Let's say that. As in heaven, so on earth. Let's say it again. As in heaven, so on earth. Father, we agree with you. We agree with all of the things that you have for us and for this globe full of your people that you desire. In Jesus' name, stand on your watch. For I've called this a decade of prayer. As you intercede and as you call upon me, I will upend the agenda of the enemy, and I will turn the hardest hearts to the wisdom of the just. Some of you that watch internationally noted that the UK left the EU on the 31st. That, I believe, was Friday. That's a key thing. There's something that happened here. There's a shift that's happening here. Most of you probably haven't been able to avoid the garbage with the impeachment proceedings. There's a key shift occurring. There's a significant thing that's happening in this time frame. This guy goes on, Russ Walden, by the Spirit of the Lord, I believe, goes on. The ministry of the evangelist is coming to the forefront once again. Signs and wonders, miracles and healings. Next paragraph, it's a new day. And I call you up to the initiatives of my kingdom. Can you say yeah? Can you say yeah to that? Okay, I call you up to the initiatives of my kingdom. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We're going there. I will pour you out of the church houses and send you out there to the lost. Those who once mocked and gainsaid every word out of your mouth will now listen with sobriety and they'll respond with humility. Ready your altars. Okay, Lord, we open up this altar, Lord, to whomever. And to the altars in our homes, right? And the altars wherever we are, whatever altar we are near, we open those up and we call forth the lost in Jesus' name. Let the altars be restored to my house once again, for I'll fill the altars with those who have sat for years in self-satisfaction, and they'll come to sudden realization that they're undone and need a Savior. This is the work I'll do, and it's your privilege and your responsibility to pray into it, says God. So, Father, we come before you, and we agree, your kingdom come, as in heaven, so on earth. Your kingdom come, and your will be done. In us, through us, around us, among us, we declare, your kingdom come, your kingdom come, your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been,
serve a faithful, faithful God.
Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have given thy hand hath provided.
The faithfulness of God is so upon us. The faithfulness of God is upon you to accomplish His greatness within you and through you. The faithfulness of God is your portion.
Faithfulness, morning by morning. just worship you, faithful God. Faithful, yes, to each of us, but faithful to your globe, to the people out there. You are so faithful in your mercies, so faithful in your reaching, so faithful in your pouring out. We just love you. We worship you.
Almighty reigns. Alleluia. God says, you are holy. You are my children. Go spread my love. Show my love to others. Go to the darkness. Be my light.
You are my children. You are holy. Go carry my truth, my love, and my light into the dark places.
We commit our hearts, Father, to that. We are so grateful that you give to us yourself, and thus we are holy. We're so grateful that you give to us yourself, and thus we are propelled by your heart. We give ourselves to you.
Your face is beautiful, and your eyes are like the stars. Your gentle hands are healing there inside the stars. Your loving arms, they draw me near, and your smile, it brings me peace. Closer, oh my Lord, draw me closer, Lord, to thee. Captivate us, Lord Jesus. Set our eyes on you. Devastate us with your presence. Falling down. Rushing river, draw us nearer. Holy fountain, consume us with you. Captivate us, Lord Jesus, with you. Your voice is powerful, and your words are radiant bright. Shadow, I will come close and abide. You whisper love and light divine, and your fellowship is free. Draw me closer, oh my Lord, draw me closer, Lord, to thee. Captivate us. Set our eyes on you. Devastate us with your presence falling down. And rushing river, draw us nearer. Holy fountain, consume us with you. Broken from me as I'm bound in your
captivated by your goodness. Our hearts are captivated by your love. Our hearts are captivated by your holiness. Our hearts are captivated by yours, Holy Father. Lord Jesus, we are captivated by you. Captivated by you. Devote our whole beings to you. Our heart is fully yours. We desire that every facet of who we are be fully yours. You are worthy of all.
Yeah.
us to do, just open our hearts and say, okay, I really mean that, Lord. That's a nice song, but I really mean that. You won't relent until you have it all. I want you to have it all. My heart, all of it. All of me. And this day, you won't relent? That's good. Don't relent.
Amen.
Have it all. Have it all. And I'd like you to just take a break here for just a moment or two. Let it be. Let it be, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you don't relent. You don't give up. You don't quit. We're thankful. Thank you, Lord. And this morning, we yield and we say, have it all. Take it all, Lord.
In the whole of who we are, we bring these as a whole offering to you, a whole offering to you. Take and have us, our hearts, and the whole of us. whole of us, we offer to you with gratitude, with great gratitude. We offer the whole of you, us to you. Thank you that you even are willing to receive this offering of us, of the whole of us. What a delight to receive this offering. That you would do that for us, that you would accept us. What an incredible, good God you are for receiving us.
What is that fire that we ask God to come? We ask God to do his work in us. We ask God to invade our hearts. We ask God to flood our hearts with his love, with his mercy. And we mention to God about the fire. We talk about the fire of God. And what is that fire if it is not something that comes to us in order to purify us? Is it not the very fire of God that brings out the impurities of our life? Because God is desiring that his fire would come in a way to purify, not to harm us, but to literally to cleanse us. We are cleansed by the fire of God. We are cleansed just as in a furnace. As the heat is turned up, and as the dross rises to the top of that furnace, those impurities come up because the heat got turned on. And so, Lord, the cry of our heart today, God, is that you would increase, Father, that you would increase not only love, not only mercy, but increase the fire. Lord, bring fire to our hearts, Father, and reveal by fire that which is unholy, that which is not true, that which you want to change in our lives, Father. Let it be revealed by fire in Jesus' name.
Let it be burned right up. Let it be burned right up, Lord. You burn it. You burn up everything that is not of you.
Until you and I are one. Until you and I are one.
Until you and I are one. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
The King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes. The whole earth shakes. I see his love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing. The people sing. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I see a generation rising up to take the place with selfless faith, with selfless faith. I see a near revival stirring as we pray and see. We're on our knees, we're on our knees. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. As I walk from earth into eternity.
again.
Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you.
Hosanna. Oh, save, and it's also a sense of praise. Okay, it's both. Okay, it's both a sense of praise because there's an expectation of salvation, and it's a request and an openness to his salvation. So let me just say, we're going to sing it one more time, maybe two. But I want you to sing it from you and from your globe. Hosanna, both the expectation of salvation and praise. Are you ready? You may be seated. As most of you know, this afternoon we're going to have a fellowship luncheon right after the service, and then follow that with the annual business meeting. Those of you that are committed to this fellowship, want to have you, you're all welcome to participate in both of those. A couple other quick announcements I'd like to point out to you is what they call the Winter Refresher over at Wellspring Church. That's this week, starting tomorrow. Some guy, what day is some guy preaching that?
Friday.
Friday night, some guy is preaching
Juan,
over there.
Juan Colon will be preaching on Monday night. Is Juan means John. Actually, his name is John the Baptist Cologne, Monday night, and he's
if
hot.
If you want something fiery, you might go find out what
he'll
Juan
singe
has to
your
say.
Eyebrows on Monday night.
You'll get a little bit of toasted up there.
Thursday night is Doug Smith.
Doug Smith, that'll be a good one too. A man with a heart after God. That's
now, Juan is Hispanic. Doug is black. Friday, George speaks. That's white.
You're a white guy, Dad?
Yeah.
Right?
And then
nice mix.
Saturday is Dr.
Les Moore.
Now, I've forgotten the two people that are in between Tuesday and Wednesday, but...
So forgive him for that forgetting, okay? Forgive
but it'll be fun. The ones that really stir my heart are Monday and Thursday and Saturday. So pick a day or two and be there. Yeah,
you have additional information.
Yes,
so send
I can,
Dad an email if you want additional information about that. I urge you, my brethren and sistren, first of all, to pray for all people, ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, give thanks for them, pray this way for kings and all who are in authority. We're just going to do that right now, if that's all right with you.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, we just declare the grace of God over, first of all, this congregation. I just release the grace and the favor of God to cause each of these, your people, to rise up in the place that they're called to be, to release the words that they're called to release. I just bless them as oracles of God. I bless
Amen.
Them as sons and daughters of God, as
Amen.
As those who stand in the place of authority and release the grace, the favor, the incredibly good judgments of God. I release that blessing over these, your precious ones. Lord, we also just bless, in Jesus' name, our president with grace and with favor, with continued promotion in you. Lord, may his ears and his heart be opened yet further to hear more from you. Lord, we just ask you that you would so anoint him that his heart would just be malleable before you, that you would just massage your grace right into that man's heart. We bless him. We release your protection, your keeping, and your grace over that man. Lord, also your promotion and your success. Lord, even as he declares your word, whether he knows it or not all the time, Lord, we ask that you would release your word through him and that your word would go forth over this nation and even over this globe and accomplish your kingdom purpose in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We declare. And Lord, over this globe, we are so grateful to be here today on 0202020 and in a point of inflection, a point where something's happening, and we release your blessing, your salvation. Hosanna, Hosanna, over this globe, we declare you are the Savior of the world. You are the Savior of the world, and we declare that over the sons and daughters and potential sons and daughters across this whole globe, in Jesus' name.
Not just from President Trump, but his wife, her prayers, his children. And I mean, I just because we see President Trump being the one who's being under attack, it comes against his family also. And so, Lord, I bless that family, and I speak protection over them. I speak that even they would speak your words and to bring light into this very dark place, that there would not be anything that can hinder them from speaking your words into our nation and bringing life back. In Jesus' name.
We declare it in Jesus' name. And Lord, again, I'm going to echo your word. Life, life, life over this nation. Life, life, life over this nation and over this globe. Jesus' name. Amen.
In your bulletin, there's a bookmark, and it shows the lion on the top, and it says, the lion is on the move. Move with him. And I'd just like to challenge you to put that, hang that thing up. Oh, you can put it in a book that you read, but let it be a reminder. God's on the move, and this 0202020, this is a day of challenge that God is flipping the calendar. Something is flipped. And I'd like you to be reminded of that. Hang this up in there. Think, God is on the move. I'm going to move with him. I'd like to encourage you in that. Secondly.
Ken, before you go on, I'm sorry. I'm sitting here and I'm supposed to say something, I think.
Okay.
So I apologize for not checking in with you first. But I believe that God just talked to me about when he broke the chains of Paul when he was in prison.
It was Peter, but go ahead.
Peter, sorry. And the power of God came down, and he, I think they say it was an earthquake.
I don't know. But
right?
Well, Paul, then the Paul story is also, yep.
Right?
Okay.
And it broke open the doors, and it broke the chains.
That's Paul, yep.
Right?
Yep.
Think about an earthquake. How does that work?
Kind of messy.
How did the building not fall down, collapse, and smush it? I believe that what you're talking about is that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that there is something that God is saying to us, that he is going to shake, that he is going to earthquake, he is going to whatever that we don't understand, because I don't understand how an earthquake can open doors and break chains and not kill the people. Those three don't fit in my... You understand what I'm saying to you? So there was something more powerful than we're willing to admit there. You follow what
yep,
I'm saying?
Yep,
and I believe
happening.
That that's true right now, right today. And I don't know why I came up with that, but that just hit me over there when George was talking, and I was just thinking I'm silly and whatever, but I believe that that's the word of God, that this is coming, that it is, you know, a shaking. We don't know what to call it, so we'll call it an earthquake. But, Lord, we claim your power in our lives and in our world to break the chains, to open the doors, and to free the captives of Satan. He has held them, he has bound them, and we break the chains in the name of Jesus. We release the captives for your glory in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Count me in, Lord, right? Count me in. What?
Is it?
Yeah, God speaks, boom. Let there be light, boom, light. I just want to comment one more thing related to the political realm before I move on. There will be more dark clouds, nasty rumors, noisy lies coming. And I want you to see, to smile and say, watch God untangle that mess. Watch God bring that down. Watch, expect that when the nasties come along, right behind that is coming the supernatural, great, big, huge God. Watch God pull it off, because it will come. And I don't want you to be discouraged. When it comes, you smile. Watch God pull it off, because you see God's on the move. The 02022020, it's a day in which watch God, because he's on the move. He's going to pull it off. Look out, because he's coming.
Hallelujah. Kathy is seeing chains break. And we speak it, and she sees it. We speak it, and she sees it. We declare it. Chains being broken. In
Amen.
Jesus' name.
So be it.
And she's normally reserved.
Oh, yeah, she quiet.
In this picture, she was leading the people, saying the Lord's Prayer. Her face was up. Her face was animated. I love it. That's just a sign.
We bless her in Jesus' name. We release her. We release her. We release her into the fullness of your calling in
Amen.
Her life.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
We declare.
In Jesus' name. This morning I'm going to be reading out the book of Numbers, chapter 13 and 14. I'm going to be doing a small part of Numbers 13 and all of 14, so get ready to stay awake, okay? The story is that it's the time of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, and it's the time to go into the land of Canaan. And so Moses sends 12 spies into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. And so he sends them, in Numbers 13, verse 25, for 40 days into the land of Canaan. Verse 28, and they come back with this report. And this is what the 12 spies say, all 12 of them. But the people living there, we entered the land that you sent us to explore. And it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit they produces, but the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak, which are giant, is a family of giants. And the people began to have a nervous breakdown. Verse 30, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. And he said, let us go up and take the land. We shall certainly conquer it. And then he goes on. They come back with the bad guys again.
I'm just going to button you up a little bit so that you're a little bit more. Here, hold this for a second.
Sorry. He's going to make me look beautiful.
And modest.
Miraculous.
See how modest you are now.
Miraculous happening. And so the other guys begin to. They're not shut up. And they say, this is verse 31, we can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. So they spread a bad report among the Israelites. And they went on to say, the land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes in to live there. All the people there are huge. I wonder, when you think about all the people, do you suppose they saw some babies that were 100-pound babies? All the people are big. And the giants, we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And furthermore, that's what the giants thought of us, too. First of all, they projected, they absorbed their own thinking, and then they projected on everybody else what they had no way of knowing. That's what the giants thought of us, too. Numbers chapter 14, starting with verse 2. And the whole community began to cry out, and their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt or even in the wilderness. Oh, poor us. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? And they, verse 4, they plotted among themselves, saying, let's choose a new leader and head back to Egypt. But two of the men, Joshua and Caleb, said to the people of Israel, we're now verse 7, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It's a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord. Don't be afraid of the people of the land. They will be helpless prey to us. They have no protection. But the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. Verse 10, but the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. First of all, they against Moses, and then it's Joshua and Caleb, only because Joshua and Caleb offered their opinion. A faith statement, God will take care of us. God can do this. With God, we can make this happen. And furthermore, their protection is taken. They're going to come down. They're going to fall. They're going to crash and burn. But God is with us. Let's go do this stuff. Verse 11. And now God says something. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people provoke me, spurn me, treat me with contempt? Will they never believe me, after all the miraculous signs I have done among them? How long will these people provoke me, is King James. Spurn me, is a New American Standard. And New Living Translation is, treat me with contempt. Now just pause here for a moment. I don't think that they said to one another, let's see how we can provoke the Lord. I mean, can you think of something to really rattle his cage? They weren't trying to provoke the Lord, but they were provoking him. They weren't trying to treat him with contempt. Or what was the other word? Spurn me. Just spurn me is just I don't need that. How long will they toss me aside? How long will they treat me with contempt? In their unbelief, they were provoking, spurning, and treating God with contempt. At least that's what the Bible says, depending on which translation you read. They seem to be in agreement that it wasn't very nice. Verse 12 now. God goes on to say, I will disown them and destroy them with a plague. Then I will make you, Moses, I will make you into a nation greater and mightier than they. And you know, from there, Moses goes into intercession, and he says, oh, the whole world's going to think that you couldn't pull it off, and come on, God, you're bigger than that. And so he cries out for mercy, and mercy is granted, and God says, Moses ends up with a prayer with, in keeping with your magnificent, unfailing love. Man, it's kind of like grab God right by the tie and says, now listen, you're full of love and mercy. Now, do what you're up to. You're able to do this. You've got enough love and mercy to make this happen. And so he says, in accord with who you are, your magnificent and unfailing love, please pardon the sins of this people, just as you have forgiven them ever since they left Egypt.
Moses believed in God's name.
Oh, he had an idea, more idea who God was than he had a right to. He understood that God's whole nature, his name, was love. And even in this moment of disaster where it's all coming apart, he says, yeah, but God, listen, you're full of mercy and grace. Even in this moment, you are full of magnificent grace and mercy. And you've been doing that ever since they left Egypt, and he had. He says, one more time. Verse 20. The Lord said, I will pardon them as you have requested, but as surely as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. I want you to remember that. You may have heard this line quoted, but as surely as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. That line is God speaking to his people in the middle of a disaster. They have been rejecting him. They turned their backs on him. They refused to walk with him. And God says, okay, but in spite of that, the fullness, the glory of the Lord will fill the whole earth. I'm going to do it, God says, even though the people themselves had rejected him.
As surely as I live, says the Lord, the whole earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Let me just say to you, our hearts are still just like incendiary toward that statement of God's own. And here we have 7.7 billion people. And with just expectation, as surely as he lives, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord.
And I believe that statement is being said again today on 0202-2020, that God is saying, I'm not done with this mess. I have yet to step into the middle of this. Look out, here I come. And he's looking for people who will say, come, Lord Jesus, move in me, use me, perform your works in and through me. That's verse 20 and 21. I just want to say it again. God says, I will pardon them. But as surely as I live, as sure as I am alive, that's a pretty sure thing. That's a sure thing. God says, all the earth will be filled with the Lord's glory. Verse 22, he goes on. But not one of these people will ever enter the land. They have all seen my glorious presence and miraculous signs I performed both in Egypt and wilderness. And again, they have tested me by refusing to listen to my voice. They will never even see the land that I swore to give to their ancestors. None of them who have provoked me, spurned me, treated me with contempt, will ever see it. Both the humongous glory and the disastrous moment. But, verse 24, but my servant Caleb has a different attitude, spirit, than the others. He has remained loyal to me. So I will bring him into the land that he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of the land. Now, he says to Moses, turn around. Don't go toward the land. Tomorrow you must set out for the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea. Turn around, go backwards. And then he goes on a little bit later. God in verse 31 says, you said your children would be carried off as plunder, but I will bring them safely.
back with a bad report. The ones who incited rebellion against the Lord with their bad report were struck dead with the plague before the Lord. 10 of them died of the plague. Of the 12 who had explored the land, only Joshua and Caleb remained alive. I'm almost done, but there's a few more verses that go in that chapter. The people woke up the next morning and they said, "We realize that we have sinned, but now we are ready to enter the land the Lord has promised us." But Moses said, "Why are you now disobeying the Lord's orders to return to the wilderness? It will not work. Do not go up into the land now. You will only be crushed by your enemies because the Lord is not with you. And when you face the Amalekites and the Canaanites in battle, you will be slaughtered. The Lord will abandon you because you have abandoned the Lord." But the people defiantly pushed ahead toward the hill country, even though neither Moses nor the Ark of the Lord's covenant left the camp. The Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in those hills came down, attacked them, and chased them back as far as Hormah. What I feel like that's important to get in there as well is a recognition that they said the right words. We see that we have sinned. We were bad boys and girls. But now we're going to go do it. How much repentance was there? Not a whole lot. Because you see, they refused to obey him in the first place, and now they're refusing to obey him in the second place. The problem wasn't that they didn't see their sin in the first place. The problem is that they didn't repent of their sin in the first place. First place, they said, "Yep, we have sinned, but we're going to keep right on doing our own thing." I think that's what it says. And, of course, they went up and they got slaughtered as the Lord said they would. So this morning I would like to talk about three things about the guys that went up into the promised land. They had the 10 and the 2 had a different perspective on how they saw things. They had a different belief related to what they were seeing. They uttered different faith statements, resulting in different decisions, resulting in different outcomes. And I'm just going to say the differences again. Different perspective, different beliefs, different confessions, different decisions, different outcomes, I suspect, in both time and eternity. Beginning with different perspectives, some of them saw and believed from God's perspective. Two of them. They saw it. They all saw the same thing. They saw a beautiful land. They saw giants. They saw walled cities. They said it was flowing with milk and honey. Everybody agreed on that. But because of their difference in perspective, 10 of them said, "We can't do this." And only 2 who had embraced the perspective of God said, "We can do this thing." Those giants, those cities will fall before us because God has said, "I will give them into your hand. I will bring you into a land flowing milk and honey." What God has said about the land is true, and what God says will happen is true. 2 of them understood. They saw the issues from a God perspective. But the 10 forgot his promises. They forgot God, and they forgot
his involvement with them. This past week I was talking to somebody about life, and I suggested to them, this is a real conversation, by the way, I'm not making it up as we go, but I suggested to them that today I want you to, on five occasions, pause in the middle of that occasion, whatever the occasion is. Your boss is reaming you out. Pause in the middle of that and say, Lord, how do you see this situation? And pause to find out what it is that God would say to that person. And you see, what's the magic word about five? Five is the place to begin. It's not the end. That's the place to begin. Father, how do you see this situation? Well, I don't care what the situation is. Maybe you just got stopped by the cops and you're getting a speeding ticket. Pause, smile to yourself and say, God, what's happening here? How are you involved in this situation? How many of you think that God's involved in every situation of life? Do you think only except when the cops show up? No? He's involved in every situation of life. And we begin to respond to situations. How? And so I'm asking this guy, would you take and pause at least five times today, pause and say, Lord, what are you doing in this situation? How should I be seeing it? And how should I be responding? How do you like that for counsel? Well, anyways,
it's a start.
It's a beginning of a place. And here's the thing. That was the problem with these spies. 10 of them operated one way, and 2 of them operated with a different approach. Anyways, back to the story. How are you specifically responding to me in this situation? How would you have me generally respond? For example, let's say that somebody is just really cussing out Jerry. Aren't you glad you came together? Then so they're cussing out Jerry. It's a parent. A parent doesn't like the way Jerry has treated his precious little child. And so that never happens, right, Jerry?
Oh, no.
You're in church, Jerry. Okay, but here's the struggle. And so Jerry is, you know, what he'd like to do is slug the parent because, you know, the kid has been difficult, but the parent's more difficult. The kid has problems with the parent. Yeah, probably caught it from the parents and has a double bad. Anyways, so Jerry has a, and so he's going to pause and say, Lord, how should I be seeing this situation? What are you doing here, Lord? And what would you have me to do? How many of you think that that might be a valuable thing to do? And the Lord might say, Jerry, I'm trying to teach you patience and you're very slow learning. So here's one more round about the mountain. You don't need to learn patience, do you, Jerry?
Please no.
And so we don't know what the problem is, but in this moment, Jerry has an opportunity to hear from God how God perceives this situation. God is involved. God is there. God has something he wants to accomplish in Jerry and through Jerry. Now, there's a general perception that we could take. Jerry, you need to forgive the woman or the parents and bless them. I can give you some good general counsel. But I want you to know, Jerry, that because God's intimately involved in your life, he wants to give you some specific instruction. Yep, forgive, bless. But now I want to talk to you about, and he begins to tell you what he's trying to do in you and what he wants to do through you to that parent. That's unique, personal, and precious. I want to talk to you for just a minute, back off, and we'll come back to Jerry. We don't want to like, get him escape, right? We'll get him back again. But When Moses was leading the people of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt, there came a place where they came up to the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army was gathering around and coming up on them. And all the people were frightened. They had a right to be. And God says to Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And wait a second. We got to do something here. What do you mean stand still? But you see, God understood he was doing a thing. There was an occasion which we'll talk about a little bit maybe more in detail with Jehoshaphat, when several armies, several nations came up against Jehoshaphat. And God said to Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat laid it out and said, oh my goodness, God, what are we going to do? And God says, this battle is not yours but mine. I'll take care of this. You just get out there and sing praises and shout my name and declare my glory, and I'll take care of this mess. All right. The only reason I bring up those two things is, one, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The other, go forth declaring the praises of God. Well, when the people, the scriptures say that when they began to praise the Lord, the various armies went nuts. And they began to kill each other until they destroyed each other. And when it finally came time for Israel to arrive, oh, they had to clean up the mess. And it took them, I think it was 3 days to carry away the spoils. That was what they ended up doing. Amazing. But different instructions. When God's involved in our lives, we have general instructions. Jerry, you need to forgive that parent. All right, there it is. You got it. Are you going to do it, Jerry? And don't take it out on the kid. And it might be good to bless the parent, too. And you say, okay, God, how do I bless them? Bless them with a brick. Sorry, Lord. How do I bless them, Lord? And so the Lord would give you some instruction, releasing grace and love and truth into their lives. But then there's some specifics that the Lord would well like to put into you. Specifically, Jerry, I want you to walk in more humility than you've ever known before. Jerry said, Mamma mia. Are you Italian? So you wouldn't have said that. But you understand, you think, this is too much. You know, they're wrong and I'm right. And God says, take the humble road. This is what I'm asking of you now. Because in that place, you'll be able to release life into the parents and the kid as well. Will you do that for me, Jerry? You see, there is specific instruction about how to walk from his perspective. And the difference is wild. The difference between the 10 and the 2 is humongous. The 10 inspired rebellion among the people. The 2 inspired obedience to the living God. Huge difference. Now I need to get back to my notes before I get lost with a lot of rambling. And so this was a discussion I was having with my counselee, if you want to call it that. Will you take the time to ask for instruction? Listen for instruction. Hear instruction. Believe instruction. And respond accordingly. Will you do that? So the person said, yep, I'll do that. Only 5 times? That's not too bad. I guess I can handle that. But you want to know what the truth is, it's a good place to start. But God's involved in every moment of your life, every day, and he has good to accomplish in those moments. Now, supposing Jerry asked the Lord, okay, Lord, what are you saying to me, Jerry? Lord, what are you saying to me? And the Lord says, and Jerry says, I didn't quite get that. What'd you say? Time is running on here. What do I say? And Jerry gets nothing. How many of you have ever asked the Lord for instruction? You got nothing. Only 3, 4, 6. The rest of you are kidding. And so my instruction is then, what is the general instruction of God? Well, you got to forgive and bless and tune into God. Okay? And so here I am, Lord. I'm going to forgive and bless. And I think maybe the way to bless them is just to say, I'll work harder at that, a little bit of humility, and trying to reach into that situation. And okay, Lord, is that okay? Would that be okay? I'm going to forgive, I'm going to bless, and I'm going to say to them, I'll work harder at that. And that would be my intent. Is that okay, Lord? And listen again. And this is not make-believe. This is real. And so after he ran down the road again, he still doesn't hear anything. Have you ever asked the Lord twice and didn't hear? Jerry did, so I'm talking to the right person. But that is true. And so what do we do now? We go back to the general instruction. I know that I need to forgive them. I know that it would be right. Bless those that persecute. Bless and curse not. Gotcha, Lord. I'm going to do that. To the best of my knowledge, this is what I am about to do, Lord. Do you have any further instruction? You see that? It's okay. He knows where we're at. Let's not fool around. Let's get real with God. And okay, Lord, I'm going to proceed along those lines, expecting that you will bless me in the doing of it and accomplish your purposes, even though I don't know anything beyond the general thing. Jerry wants to defend himself now. No, go ahead.
Not so much to defend myself, but if you're in that situation and God didn't convict you of anything else and you're moving forward, you are walking in faith. Yeah. And you are not trying to be rebellious because you have asked.
Yeah.
And if you didn't hear anything of directional things, just continue to walk. Because if you're not doing right, God is able to speak to you.
Yep. And he'll cover you if you missed it.
Right.
If he did, maybe he was saying, I want you to walk in more humility, Jerry. And Jerry said, what did you say? What did you say? Not hearing anything. And then God says, wait a second. If you're walking in the best you know, he'll cover you and walk with you and call you to a better place.
He'll pop an ear, one of those ears free and speak him.
Get to you.
Do you have something you want to say?
I just want to say pray for them, because sometimes you can see the situation turn right around.
Yeah.
Well, and in the prayer, you know, often it's the heart of the Father that begins to be expressed through the prayer.
Yep.
And it almost begins to tell you where to stick your foot, the next step to take, where to. I just want to give a quick little testimony of my own. I love to hear God.
Uh-huh.
I love to live by walking to hear God.
I believe that.
Last Sunday morning, not this morning, but last Sunday morning, I was in the kitchen. I had my bag, my black bag that I always bring everywhere, and I was about to head out the door. I'm all ready to go, all geared up, got my sermon, got some music picked out. You know, I'm all ready to roll, right? And I'm in the kitchen. That's the door's off the kitchen. I'm middle of the kitchen, and I'm like, okay, something. I don't know what. God, what's up? Just listening. Okay, so I'm like, maybe I'm missing something? You want me to put something in my bag? Okay, all right, oh, okay. My Bible? Okay, I don't know if you guys notice it, but lots of times when I do my Bible, I do it off my phone, but I actually really enjoy reading off from the actual pieces of paper thing, you know? I like that. So I was like, okay, should I? And I felt like he said, well, yeah, sure. I mean, it was more like sure than yes, but it was a yes thing. So I start to walk through the dining room over to where my Bible is beside my bed. And I look over there, and there's this big fat folder of music. And I looked at it and I said, oh, that's why you were sending me, weren't you, Lord? And he said, yeah. Okay, so now, I didn't get it right. Didn't get it right. I actually was headed to get a Bible because that was the best I was catching at the moment. Okay. I knew something. And so then I was like, Lord, is it? And he was like, well, sure. Why? Because it got me going in the right direction. And then I said, Father, is that okay? I didn't actually bring my Bible. Okay. And the reason is because he was sending me after the music that I was about to leave behind, and I needed to bring it for the team. If your heart is to pursue and hear him, even when you don't get it right, is his heart, is to make it right for you. You see, there's a process. You submit your heart to him, and he'll accomplish. He'll direct. He'll direct the paths. He will accomplish it. He's good. We want everything of his. Want it, all of it. Please, God, interrupt anything. I'm about to go out. I'm a little late. I should go. No, okay, I'll wait. All right, direct me. The truth is, I'd have been a whole lot later if I had gotten to church and realized they didn't have the music, right? I'd have to go back or call one of the kids or do something. Thank you, God, for little directions, even little directions that I don't get perfectly, so that you get me where I need to go because you're good.
Jerry, can you find Betsy? Did you see her out there?
No.
Okay. Anyways, this morning I was supposed to wake Betsy up at 6:30 in the morning. My own little story. And so I was watching the clock to be sure to wake her up at 6:30 because that was what the boss said. You know, I'm going to do what I'm told, right? And as it came time to do what I'm told, I felt like the Lord said, turn this YouTube on, this music. Is she coming? Can't find her. Anyway, I felt like I had a song that was for her, and so I couldn't remember much of the words of it, but I got the song on YouTube, looked it up, put in the title, which I can't remember now, and turned it on the YouTube and began to play it, and I began to cry. I thought the song was for her, but the song was for me. So I listened to the song probably 6 times between 6:30 and 20 till 7. I'm not sure if it's 6 or 7. How many times did, what was the name of the song this morning?
Morning Has Broken.
Morning Has Broken. What an incredible funny song. What was it? Were you going to say something?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Not the right song.
But that's the first line of the song.
May Jesus Christ be praised.
May Jesus Christ be praised. The first line of the song is morning is broken. But the thrust of the song is may Jesus Christ be praised in this situation, in that situation, in that situation. Over and over again, may Jesus Christ be praised. And so I was hearing for a song to break the morning for Betsy and instead received the word of the Lord for myself. And it was so deeply moving to me that I needed to listen to it from 3 or 4 different sources. Because I was looking for the special, the one that would really, the first one really rang. Well, but after I'd done 3 or 4 more, I went back to the first one because that was the best one. It ministered life to me. I just want to say this. Sometimes we don't quite get what God's saying, but if we'll begin to process what he said, begin to obey, there is a blessing that comes into the situation like we never could imagine. Moving forward. The 12 spies went into the land. All of them went with 5 senses. All of them had some experiences. All of them had some rational deductions about the experiences. All of them had memories about how God had done things. They all went through the Red Sea, and they saw the walls, and they saw the Egyptians coming in behind. They had all seen that. They saw the Egyptians get drowned. They'd all seen that. All of that is natural. What? What do you have? Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, understood. There were some supernatural things that happened. But the thing that I wanted to get that was not, quote, natural, was two of them plugged into God's perspective about everything that was happening then and into the future. They had the five senses. Yep, okay, use your five senses. They had their intellect. Yep, use your intellect. Yes, there are giants in the land. Yes, there's milk and honey. Yep, everything is good. But I see what God has said and what God is doing. There's a spiritual element to this reality. And that's Old Testament. That's the Old Covenant. We live in the New Covenant, the New Testament. Let us be a people who plug into the eternal, plug into the supernatural, plug into what God's perspective is, and look at life from His perspective. That becomes an essential reality. By the Spirit of God, we can have supernatural insight and wisdom, by supernatural direction, which is unique to our situation, supernatural power. Let's face it, these guys, the 10 of them, went in there and they looked at their sword, it's this long, and they looked at the giants and the sword's that long, and they said, well, this is not going to work well. Didn't take a lot of brains to figure that out. But there were two who said, God has said, and I believe God. So that's the essence. And the difference is both temporal and eternal. Where they ended up in time and in eternity. Massive difference. They were focused on God and got His insight. I just want to point out again, everybody's a believer. We believe something. But as children of God, we have the ability to believe more than what we see with our natural eyes, with our own abilities, our natural thinking. There is a supernatural possibility of believing that God is involved. God is doing something here. What is it that you're doing, God? Because I want to see this from your perspective. I want to get past the natural. I want to grab into what you're doing and operate on the basis of what you've done or doing and going to do. I beg you, Father, reveal yourself to me. Sometimes we don't understand that our grumblings against Moses or Joshua and Caleb are actually grumblings against God. Because they believed differently, because what they believed was different. I want you to catch this. On the basis of what they believed, they spoke differently. Two of them, well, the initial thing, we don't know who's doing the talking. The original, the first, when they came back, they said, the land is full of giants and walled cities. But then there was a departure in what they believed. 10 of them said, our swords are only 12 inches long, and theirs are 3 feet. We cannot do this. Two of them said, but God has said He will give us the land. Their confessions came out of what they believed. Out of their hearts comes the confession, and out of their hearts comes death or life.
I want to say that we are given eyes and we see with them. We are given ears, and we hear with them. But Jesus did not judge by what His eyes saw.
Yes, that's right.
Nor decide by what His ears
heard. That's right.
That data wasn't the basis for His judgment of people or His judgment of situations. He did not judge by what His eyes saw, nor decide by what His ears heard. But with righteousness, He judged. What's that mean? It's what God is, relationship with God. See, you see, each of these guys that you're talking about, they were rightly related with God. They had a faith in him that caused them to believe something bigger than what their eyes saw or what their ears heard. You see, if you judge by what your eyes see or decide by what your ears hear, then you're going against righteousness. Fact, okay? That's why Jesus wouldn't do it. Jesus and you and I, instead, by righteousness, by our relationship, by what God has said, what God is saying, that's how we operate. There's a key to this. Yes, we're given eyes to see and ears to hear. But you know what that gives us? That only gives us the thing that we're not going to believe, so that we have the thing that we do believe, which is Father, his word, his truth. It gives us the context for faith. It gives us a situation that enables us to make a choice about what we're going to see for real and judge and decide. What are we going to do? There's a powerful key to understand that we can see and we can hear. But those aren't the things that are going to take us down to the righteousness. It's righteousness with him. It's his word, receiving that, that gets us where we belong.
Jesus also said, I do always please the Father. And then in another place he said, I don't even speak except that what I hear the Father say, and the things that I do, I see the Father doing, I do. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, he was quoting out of the Old Testament, that they had said, I believe, therefore I spoke. And Paul says, we believe, and therefore we speak. It's out of what we believe that we speak. May God grant that earlier we talked about the fire purging our hearts. May our hearts be purged of that which would hinder us from believing and speaking accordingly. A second thing that I wanted to note right here, and then we'll rush on, is the time when Jesus came back to where his disciples were working with a man whose son was a lunatic or would throw himself into the fire. And he came on, there's a big hubbub going on, and he says, what's going on here? And the father said, I wanted your disciples to heal my son, but they could not. And Jesus' response was, if you have faith, and everything, all things by faith, just believe. And the father's response, now what was, does anybody remember what the father's response? Don't memorize this verse, but I'll tell you what it was. Here's a verse you don't remember. Don't remember this one. I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Now, I want you to, I'm joking when I say don't remember it. Remember that. How many of you believe perfectly? Your faith is perfect in all respects. Got a few areas. Let's get real with God. The father could have said, he didn't, but he could have said, I brought him here because I believed. I asked because I believed. And now I'm asking you because I believe. I do believe. But apparently not enough. Help thou my unbelief. Fix what's in me. Let the fire fall. Purge out for what's in me and accomplish your purposes. I believe. Help thou my unbelief.
Two scriptures came to me in with the story for Caleb and Joshua. And one is that we walk by faith and not by sight. So that differentiated those two groups, right?
Yep.
There. And the other one is, greater is he who is in Caleb and Joshua,
yes,
than he who is in the land.
Yeah. So. Amen. Amen. And that is true of us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is out there. Earlier I said, you're going to see some bad things happen. Greater is he that is in us, and we will yet see the victory of God. We are not going to say, oh, my, all is lost. We're going to say, watch what Father does now. I can't wait to see him move. I can't wait to hear what he has to say.
I just want to
to understand prophetically. I really want to stick with where you are at that. The real deal is, if you see a giant, that's good news. The reason it's good news is because you have your God and his word, and that giant is going to fall. I'm going to tell you, so recently, you know, you've heard me talk about Brexit, and if you backtrack a couple of months, you see there was resistance and dithering and back and forth and blah, 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 and a political solution was being attempted in failing. But because of that, they had to call elections, and because of that, not just the bald fact of Brexit, but a strong Brexit actually was accomplished. Okay, so the key issue here is when you see the resistance increase, it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because the truth is that the breakthrough is greater because of the greater resistance. You can imagine that if this hand is weak and I'm pushing against it, it just slides out of the way. On the other hand, if this hand is strong and I'm pushing against it, eventually this hand breaks and there's a breakthrough as opposed to a gentle, small victory. Do you see what I'm trying to say? So when we see the great thing standing against the words of God, that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because we know, we live, we walk by faith, not by sight. And so when we see the thing that's bigger or badder or stronger or uglier, we can rejoice because we know that it's a bigger breakthrough that we're destined for than we had initially thought. We thought it was just going to be a little breakthrough. We knew it was going to happen. We thought it was going to be small. Instead, it's going to be great.
So from our perspective, we see different things. If we'll join in to the spiritual perspective, we'll believe different things, we'll speak different things, and we'll do different things, and the outcome is radically different. I mentioned earlier that I would speak of Jehoshaphat, and there's a verse in the middle of that I want to hit as we wrap it up. There was a huge army coming, and the prophet said, this is 2 Chronicles 20:15, the prophet said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat. There's a word specific to the man. Incredible, let me just say this, God has specific words. Yeah, he was the king, whoopee. He speaks to his children wherever they are. More so in the New Testament than in the Old. Okay, here we go. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. And you will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley, which opens to the wilderness of Jeruel. Notice this. But you will not even need to fight. Take your position, stand still, and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed with his head to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. And early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And on the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Jerusalem and Judah. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. After consulting with the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And this is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. I want you to see something going on here. Massive army. I don't know, 4 or 5 different nations gathered together to come against Israel. And they're going to start singing songs. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Verse 22. And at the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir to fight among themselves. And the armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. And after they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began killing themselves, one another. We don't see the end unless we see God. What is God doing in this moment? We don't know what he's doing in this moment unless we see God. He's got stuff to do. I am convinced that this day, 0202020, is a day that where we need to see that God has turned the tide. There's a new day. And he is on the move to accomplish things through his people all over the world. And we will not be left out.
I got one of those blessings I told you about from Linda Schultz.
Yes.
And it starts with a word. Here's the word. Until. Until. That's a powerful word. Say it with me. Say it.
Until.
We're going to stand and we're going to believe. Until we see the victory of our God. Until. She quotes a scripture out of Psalms 105:19. Until what he predicted actually happens. Until what the Lord had said proved true, proved him true. Until. And then she goes on with these blessings, and I bless you with them today. When God gives you a view of what the end will be, I bless you to trust him during the process. I bless you to find joy in the journey.
Amen.
I bless you to continue on in faith, even if the wait seems excruciating.
Amen.
I bless you to hope. And I bless you with hope that always holds on to his goodness. I bless you with assurance that he is always there with you, expressing his loving care. I bless your ability to see him at work in your life and in the lives of those around you. I bless you to be those whose eyes of your hearts see better than the eyes in your cranial sockets. That you see with your heart and that you stand and you believe until has an expectation to it. So I bless you with the word until. You'll be strong. You'll live. You'll stand. You will believe until. Yes, there will come a time when you see the salvation of the Lord in that arena, the one that you're working on. And I bless you with faith and courage and hope. Strength until. Amen.
Amen.
Father, I do bless these, your precious ones, and I release again your anointing. Draw us to yourself. Draw us into your heart, into seeing with your eyes, into knowing by your righteousness, judging even by your righteousness. I bless each one of us with this ascending grace and favor, that all the earth would be filled with
Amen.
The glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen.
Well, I bless you all, and I release the grace of God upon you. We are going to head over to the fellowship hall. Somebody that knows something should say when we're going to eat, but I don't know that, so we'll find that out as we go. But we'll eat, and then we'll, after that, we'll convene for an annual business meeting. And got a couple of other people come into the annual business meeting. Don Davis, as you guys know, is he's our clerk and a deacon here, even though he's a pastor of a local church. And another pastor of a local church is going to be here, who's also a member of our fellowship. Pastor Vic there from The Rock. So we'll be expecting a few additionals. But come along. Let's eat. Let's enjoy. Let's fellowship. I bless you guys and appreciate you all.
I'd like to make one more note, and that is the sacrifice of Thanksgiving offering came in last week at about $54 or something like that, which amounts to like $2,500 in Kenyan money. And so we gave them, we'll call it $2,500. That's how it works out for them. And this is the last Sunday we're going to have it where you can see it, the last time we're going to talk about it. If you have a Thanksgiving offering in the future, you need to look for the box somewhere in the sanctuary and put your sacrifice offering in that when you find it. And at the end of this, we will let you know how much we've managed to pull together for.
How long is it for?
It's just, it was a total of 5 weeks, and this is the second week, so we got 3 more weeks.
3 more weeks after this.
Bless you. Eat hearty. Why don't you?